Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings, your refuge, his faithful.
Jesus, in Matthew chapter 25, tells us a parable. He tells of a man about to go on a journey, and as he gets ready to go on a journey, he gathers three of his most trusted servants. And as the servants come to him, he gives each of them a portion of his riches. To the first man, he gives five of these coins. In the ancient Near East, they're called talents. Gives five to the first. He gives two to the second. He gives one to the third. And then the man goes on his journey. Well, as the man leaves, the man who has five immediately takes those five coins and he begins to trade with them. He begins to invest them and quickly turns those five into ten, doubles what the master had given to him. The second one does the same. He has two, trades with them, invests them, turns the two into four. But the last one, the one who had one, he goes home, he digs a hole and he buries it. Not uncommon at that time to keep something safe, to dig a hole, to bury it down. Well, the master returns, and he gathers his three servants back, and the one who had five and had made it ten said, "Master, master, look, I took the five that you gave me, and I doubled it and made it ten." The master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." The one who had two and had turned it into four comes, says the same thing. I took the two, I've made it four. He says, well done, enter into the joy of your master. And then the one who had the one, he says, master, I was afraid, so I hid that one in the ground. Here, have back what is yours. The master said, you wicked and lazy servant. He took the coin away from him, cast the servant out into darkness and suffering. Well, the meaning of the parable is clear. It's obvious to most of us. God has given each of us gifts, talents, if you will, abilities, opportunities, even privileges. And at the end of our lives, we'll stand before God and give an account for how we have used what God has entrusted to our care. As we look back over the life of Al Rent, it's easy for us to imagine he has heard those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Al was born February 22nd, 1943, with his twin brother, Andy. As you've heard, true twins, each other's best friends, even into adulthood, able to understand each other, finish each other's sentences. They'd show up to something and even dress the same. Now, one of the memories I got to hear from Andy as he came down from Michigan to see Al, and he's so excited, Al, you got to see these new shoes that I bought. And lo and behold, Al puts out the same pairs of shoes. They played together as kids, driveway basketball tournaments, and they wanted to play into the night, but not having a lit driveway, they would clip photo plugs to the gutters so they could play until midnight. They cut down the neighbor's hedge so they could play wiffle ball and have a big enough field. They went out into the woods behind the house, dug these trenches, and put up railroad ties to make bunkers so they could play war with dirt clods. And oh, how they tormented Judy. They tormented Judy. You've already heard, I'm so glad that Andy told the story. I'm trying to find out, how do I tell about a brother putting a rope around his sister's neck? They left her with a rope around her neck and went home. They would be in theater together, band together, choir together, from youth all the way up into college. And they would, you've already heard, their love of radio and TV all the way from childhood. Hanging up the sheet, they'd take a box with toilet paper rolls to make the camera. They'd play murder mysteries with Judy as the body. They'd play TV station, or a radio station with the 45s, and they would introduce the songs. You see, their love of performance began even as they were children and extended all the way through their whole life. Many of you will remember the two-man shows they did in college when they would sing and do skits. It was at one of these shows that Al took Linda on one of their first dates. They loved to perform, but you know this part of their life. You know the rest of this part. Al's work with WBST, WIPB, WLBC, WXFN, Ball State, Burris, Meridian Health Services, Minnetrista, Martin Luther King Dream Team, the Muncie Symphony Orchestra. You know his work for our city. You know his awards. The Spirit of Muncie Award, named after him. Star Press, Person of the Year. The Addy Awards, nominated for Regional Emmy Awards. Chamber of Commerce Legacy Award. The Sagamore of the Wabash Award. You know these things. You know his smile. You know his character. You know his personality. But did you know Al had no other side? You see, most public figures, they've got their public side and they've got their private life. They've got their media persona and then their other side. Al had no other side. The way he was with you is the way he was at home. The way he was with you is the way he was with his best friends. The way he was with you is the way that he was with Andy and with Judy. The way he was with you is the way he was with Linda and with his kids, Chris and Kelly. You've heard Chris tell already of him not losing his temper, rarely mad, certainly never yelled. They tell of going to bed at night as Al would tuck them in and they would love to hear stories. Tell us stories of growing up with Uncle Andy. taught Chris and Kelly how to catch a baseball, how to play golf. And then in the winter, I heard that this is incredible. He'd get up in the morning in the winter when it's cold and it's snowy and it's frosty and there's ice on the cars. And as he got ready to leave for work, he'd move his car out of the garage and then he'd take his kids' cars and move them into the garage so they would thaw out before they had to go to school. Chris tells of sitting in the living room. Chris on the couch, Al in his chair, that brown chair, where they would watch Johnny Carson, James Bond, and the Pink Panther, even the Love Boat, but always together. You see, even though Al worked a lot, he always had time for his family. He was always there for them, even into adulthood. Anything that they needed, Al was there. And oh, how he loved his grandchildren, Olivia and Caroline and Gracie and Lily. He'd play dolls with them. He was a sister to Olivia before she had her sisters. He'd play games for hours with Lily. He loved being grandpa. You see, I was the same serving at home as he was in the community. And this is how Al would want us to remember him. Al would want us to remember him by loving our families and by serving in our community. He would tell us, be involved in your community. He would say, yes, one person can't do everything, though he certainly tried. One person can't do everything, but one person can do something. So how was Al able to do all of this? What made Al truly so great? Would you remember Jesus' parable that we started with? The one had five and he doubled it. The one had two and they doubled it and they came to Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your joy. But the one didn't. The one took it and he buried it in the ground. He hid it. You see, that one's sin wasn't some heinous crime. It wasn't some gross immorality or some kind of extreme wickedness. His sin was that he didn't do anything. He took what God had given to him and he hid it, buried it, did nothing. Why would he do that? In the parable, Jesus tells us, the man comes, when the master comes back, the servant comes and he says, here is yours. I was afraid. I was scared, so I buried it. He was afraid and that fear kept him paralyzed from doing anything with his life. Fear of failure, fear of getting it wrong, fear of making mistakes, fear of disappointing others. He was desperately afraid of losing what he had, and so he clung to it, he grasped it, he tried to bury it deep so that he wouldn't lose it. And because of his fear at the end, he lost everything. But J. Allen Rent was never afraid. Oh, sure, it's hard to imagine that maybe he got nervous once in a while. Maybe there was some hint of trepidation. But Al was never afraid. He was never afraid because of his faith. Al trusted in God. Yes, it's true, Al was never really an evangelist. He didn't use his platforms as an opportunity to preach. He didn't pass out Bibles in the hallways. But he lived out his faith. And his life was one of loving God and of loving his neighbor. Al trusted in God. Al trusted that God's love for him. He knew that God loved him so much that he gave his own son, Jesus Christ, to live, to suffer, to die on a cross, to be buried, and to rise again because God loved Al. He trusted in God's forgiveness, that because of Jesus dying on the cross, he knew he had God's forgiveness for his failures, God's forgiveness for his disappointments, God's forgiveness for the rare times he let someone down. Al trusted God's love. He trusted God's forgiveness. He trusted God's promise of eternity. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in the hospital. And as Linda let me have some time alone with him, he sat in his bed and I sat next to him and we talked about this and that. And then I asked him, Al, how is your heart through all of this? Not your biological heart, and he chuckled, but your heart. And he said, this is hard. Nobody wants to do this. But my heart's at peace because I know we'll be together again. I believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he knew that one day Al too would rise again from the dead with a new body. Al trusted God, and it was that trust that let his heart be free from fear so he could spend his life serving others, because he was loving others the way that he knew God loved him. A week ago Friday, the Friday before Al left us, I was in their home in their living room. Linda was there, Al in his new chair. And we shared stories. Stories of how they met, stories of growing up in Muncie, stories of their faith. And if you don't know, Al had been diagnosed with prostate cancer in March of 2001. 16 years Al fought cancer. 16 years he battled that disease. Knowing his faith, I asked him, Al, how has God used cancer in your life? And he laughed as only Al could. He said, that's hard. And he thought, you know, Chris, it's made me stronger. It's taught me to not sweat the small stuff. And then he said, it taught me to keep trusting. Always trusting. Never stop trusting. Keep trusting. It was that trust that set Al's heart free from fear, even the fear of cancer. That trust in God that set his heart free to serve others. Al knew God's love for him in Jesus, that God loved him so much he gave his own son to die for Al. And if God loved Al like that, then that's how Al wanted to love others. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice? And to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we give thanks to you for James Allen Rent. We give thanks to you for the life that he lived. We give thanks to you for the memories that we get to share with him. We give thanks to you for the memories that we get to carry on with us. We give thanks to you for Al, Al's brother and husband and father and grandfather and friend and mentor, as servant, serving others even above himself. We give thanks to you for his example of how to love our community. God, would you enable us to love our community just like that? We give thanks to you for his life of faith, of his trust in you. Would we trust in you like that, that our hearts too would be set free from fear? Father, this morning, we pray for his family. We pray for Linda. We pray for Chris and Melissa. We pray for Kelly and Nathan. For Olivia, Caroline, Gracie, Lily. For Andy and Judy. For nieces and nephews and relatives and friends. Father, would you hide your children in the shadow of your wings? Would they know your voice as you sing over them your words of comfort? Would you strengthen them and build them up? For we know we grieve as those who have hope, hope in the resurrection of the dead, that one day we too who are in Jesus will be reunited with Al in eternity. Lord, haste the day when our faith is sight, when we see you and we see that resurrection of the dead. Until then, comfort us, strengthen us, and help us to love like you have loved us, even as we have seen Al do. We give thanks to you for Al. We give thanks to you for your spirit with us this morning. We give thanks to you most of all for Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Whatever it is that life throws at us, when we trust in God, we can say, "It is well with my soul." Let's close our service together by standing, if you are able, and singing these two verses of "It is well with my soul" that are printed in your bulletin. Receive from the Lord as he blesses and sends us out. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good so that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Will you please be seated as the family is dismissed? Thank you.
Thank you.